Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for spending part of your day with me. In 2012, the inaugural year of the Montclair Film Festival, the festival's tagline was, "It's Sundance, only Jerseyer." Now in its eighth year, the Montclair Film Festival hardly needs to rely on comparisons to its more established peers for credibility. With more than 100 films showing this year and a lineup of speakers including Mindy Kaling, Ben Stiller, Stanley Nelson, Olympia Dukakis, and many more, Montclair has become a destination for film fans in its own right. The festival starts on May 3rd and runs through May 12th. And to tell us more about the lineup at this year's festival, I'm joined by Evie Colbert, president of the board for Montclair Film. Hi, Evie.
Hi.
And the festival's executive director, Tom Hall. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
So what was the original inspiration for this festival?
Well, the original idea was to try to give Montclair an economic shot in the arm. It was not long after 2008, and several of the arts nonprofits in town had shuttered, and Montclair seemed like the kind of place that could support an arts festival, particularly a film festival that has a long history of showing independent films in Montclair. So the original idea was a short, maybe 2 to 3 day festival that might bring some business to restaurants and retail, as well as getting the community out to share in a common feeling of an arts festival. It's grown well beyond that, but that was really sort of the original idea was, let's try this and see what happens.
Montclair cracks me up because I grew up in Glen Ridge. I lived in the Glen Ridge Montclair border.
Oh, there you go.
The one street that's on the border.
Yeah.
And when I grew up, you know, in the 70s, it was like a sleepy little place. There was Church Street.
Right.
And that was kind of it.
Right.
Like one coffee shop and one cool place to buy barrettes or something. So what is it that has happened in Montclair that makes it a fertile place where a film festival can plant seeds and grow?
I think a lot has to do with the makeup of the people who live in the community. You know, Montclair sort of likes to say it's Upper West Siders transplanted or whatever, or now maybe Brooklynites who have two kids and then they move over. So I don't know. I just think there's a ripe audience in Montclair for arts and for discussion. You know, they're sort of, we like to joke that half of the New York Times lives in Montclair, you know.
That's not a joke. I think that's
No, I think it's, I think it's actually kind of true. There's a really a sort of a reception for arts and journalism and that kind of thing.
It's a very media-savvy town. It's a diverse town. Mm-hmm. The town's 40% African-American. There's a very strong LGBTQ culture there as well. A lot of families. It's always been a sort of progressive place. And so, you know, with film and artists making and telling stories that sort of speak to those communities, we're trying to reach everybody that we can through the power of cinema, which is, I think, important.
How were the films selected this year?
So every year it's the same. we start in the fall in September, and that's sort of the year kickoff of the year for film. Toronto, Venice, Telluride, those festivals sort of launch the year, and we start looking at that time. So there's a two-pronged approach. We go after movies that we like. We go see them. We're constantly sort of engaging with the field. And then we have open submissions, like most other film festivals in the world. So anyone literally can send us their movie for consideration. And we start weighing each of them. And like I said, because of the diversity of our town and the approach that we take, half of our films are fiction, half of them are nonfiction. Half of our films are short films, half of them are feature films. So we've got these sort of buckets that we put the movies into, and you start narrowing things down very quickly. You want to reach people with different types of stories. You don't want five films, let's say, on Hurricane Sandy in one year. Our audience may like one, they may like two. So we mix it up and we're trying to find things that speak to people in a different way and start conversations, which is really important to us. You know, all of our films that we can make happen have a Q&A. We really think it's important to have the directors there speaking to the audience. You know, Montclair is an engaged community where people like to talk. Everyone's got strong opinions. And so our audiences really respond to the artists. And we like to build connection that way together through the art of sort of conversation and dialogue. We think it's really important.
That's so sophisticated. And I'm thinking 8 years ago when you just started, what was your goal back then when it was just in its baby stages?
Well, you know, it's really funny. Preparing for this, I went back and I was looking at, I don't know, some emails and things, and I came across something that I had said. One of the first things we ever did was show a screening of Andrew Rossi's documentary Page One. And that was when we sort of realized, oh, wait, look how many people from the New York Times live here, because right. they all came to the screening.
With the late David Carr.
And he was a great friend to the festival, and he lived in Montclair at the time. But I had introduced the film, and I sent this to Tom yesterday. I said, look, we were saying the same thing, you know, almost 8 years ago, which was we wanted to bring people together. We wanted to promote conversations, encourage empathy. That's always been our goal, whether it's through storytelling or whether it's through conversations after films. We really feel that that's what film can do, and that's what we hope to do, is spur along people to learn something maybe you didn't know anything about and talk to someone who maybe is not just like you.
Mm-hmm. That must be really satisfying. Mission statement from day one has remained intact.
It is kind of satisfying. I was actually a little surprised.
I just love that. I mean, as a person who programs and sort of puts the film program together, knowing, you know, it's, as an audience member, you look at our program and you're like, I've never seen any of these movies. What's the good one? Or, you know, how do I figure out what I want to see? But, you know, when you build trust with an audience and you know that people are going to be getting together in that space and you're going to be there and you know the artist and you know the audience and you get to connect them and bring them together and have them share a collective experience and build empathy and understanding, it's a really, really great feeling. You feel sort of powerful and like you've really, you know, done mm-hmm. something positive. And I know movies sort of get a bad rap as being superficial. We're not, and we're also not sort of the high arts, the ballet or the museum or the orchestra. They get a sort of commercial reputation. But I really do think there's power in connecting in a dark room with strangers over a shared story, a shared experience, and having a discussion about it. I think it's a really important thing, especially sort of, you know, in our time and finding new perspectives. And so we work with young filmmakers. We have an education program that's teaching kids about this sort of the power of storytelling. Junior jury, young filmmakers, all coming through the system as well and through our programs. And I think that's an important thing, too, that we do. So it's really trying to connect all these different areas and bring people together.
And to your point about film, we have this discussion in our pitch meetings. We love having Broadway actors on our Broadway shows. And we love talking about the opera. But more people can afford to go to the movies right. than they can to access those things. So it's really important to talk about film as well.
Totally. We have it's mission critical for us to keep ticket prices low. So, you know, it's cheaper to go, or the same price roughly, to go to a movie on a Tuesday night at the Multiplex in New Jersey as it is to come to a film festival film with the artist there and the audience connecting with the artist. We're not charging $50 a screening or, you know, doing some outrageous pricing. We really want people to feel it's their festival. It's a community-driven festival so that they'll come, buy tickets, and take risks. I mean, that's the other thing. Like I said, no one knows what any of these movies are. It's a much easier to take a risk on a $15 film ticket and, you know, make a night of it than it is to, like you said, go to Broadway for $150, although I love doing that too. But still, I do think it is more accessible, and the numbers, we've been growing, and I think that accessibility is very important to the community as well.
I think our viewers are building a sense of trust. We used to sort of, the ticket sales would roll out really slowly because they wanted to hear, like, what's the hot one, what's going to mm-hmm. be the best one. And now I think people sort of grab, they look at the book or they look at the website and they say, okay, I'm just going to go to these films. I'm going to be interested. I may not like it, but I'm going to learn something. And so there's a wonderful sense now of belief in our mission and a sense of I'm in, I'm all in, regardless of whether or not you tell me I'm going to like this film, I'm going to try it.
My guests are Tom Hall and Evie Colbert. We're talking about the Montclair Film Festival. Let's talk about some movies. The festival is opening with Wild Rose, which I looked, 89% Rotten Tomatoes.
Not bad.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Looks to me like it passes the Bechdel test.
It does.
Okay. Tell people what it's about and why you chose it to open.
Sure. So it's a story of a young woman in Scotland who's released from prison and returns to her young children who have been watched by her mother. And her goal in life is to become a Nashville country singer. And, you know, she's miles away, a working class woman in Scotland. There's no chance that she thinks that she'll ever be a country star. But she has a beautiful voice. She's a gruff young woman and, you know, very like sort of, you know, of the people. And it's sort of her dealing with her dream and trying to understand how she can make this happen for herself, become a mother to her children because she's been incarcerated, and deal with sort of the class barriers that prevent her from making that dream come true. It's filled with original songs. The young woman who's starring in the film, Jessie Buckley, is an amazing actor. She's in a film we showed last year called Beast. and that won our audience award. So she's coming to the festival. She'll be there for opening night. We're presenting her with a Breakthrough Performer Award because I think she's going to be a name that everyone knows pretty soon. So it's a really powerful story. It's very inspirational. It's a feel-good movie. You're not going to leave with, you'll have a tear in your eye and a smile on your face type of film, which I think are great for opening night selections. So we're really excited about that one.
There are competitions, as you mentioned. Yeah. What is the Future Now competition?
So that mm-hmm. story, we're trying to create competitive categories because filmmakers and distributors and everyone loves competition. I don't love art competing with art. It's not sort of my philosophy as a person, but I think there is value for putting apples and apples and oranges together. And so we have films in our narrative feature competition that are sort of auteur-driven, the Carlos Regattas of the world, films that may have been at Cannes or Berlin, go into our narrative feature competition. If you're a first or second time independent American filmmaker, your film's not going to stand next to those films in the same way, just money and resources, and you're a early career person. So we created the Future Now program to highlight young filmmakers, first, second time feature filmmakers who are telling exciting stories and trying new things, and give them a space where they can be compared with one another and sort of seen as a group. It indicates to our audience as well, these are certain films of a certain type. Mm-hmm. So they now know what Future Now means when they come to our films. They're like, oh yes, these are low budget, independent American films. And so that's always been important to me because we're showing different types of movies and to give people context about what kinds of films and give artists opportunities with their peers, I think is important for the festival.
Is there anything still very Jersey about it? As a Jersey girl?
The location.
Location, yeah, the original tagline, Sundance only Jerseyer.
We worry about people getting there on time when they're coming from the city. There's always that, what about the traffic?
True.
What about the tunnel?
We do have a lot of local talent, though.
We do.
I mean, Stephen Colbert, Evie's husband, is heavily involved with the festival. He does a lot with us every year, mm-hmm. Moderating our conversations. Olympia Dukakis, who will be joining us this year, you mentioned earlier, used to have a theater company in Montclair. And so she's
the whole theater.
Yes,
the whole theater. Mm-hmm. That's right. So she's coming back, I think, to make a triumphant return with this really wonderful documentary about her work and her career. Patrick Wilson, the actor, lives in town. We've done a lot with Patrick over the last few years. There are a lot of actors, film distributors live there. Like you guys were talking about earlier, media professionals. So we end up having a lot of, I think, the media community joining us in Montclair, and they're Jersey people. Mm-hmm. We've had Governor Murphy with us the last couple of years, so we're excited to welcome him back. I think this year he may be swinging by, I've been told, so we're excited about that. I think, that is New Jersey, though. There's an arts community there. I think it's important that we celebrate it and lift it up and, integrate what we're doing into it.
I think maybe the Jersey quality is that everybody's there to support each other in the sense that we're not a power-punching film festival. Mm-hmm. There are not distributors there. People aren't bidding on films at our festival. So the festival is really there, as Tom said, for filmmakers to meet other filmmakers and for audience members to discuss things with each other. So there's a great sense of community now. Obviously, New Jersey isn't the only place it has that, but
it's special.
It's
special about being a Jersey person.
There's a little something special. Yeah, exactly. We're bonded. And so I think that's a feeling that you feel, the banners go up, the ads come out, the book comes out, and everyone's like, the festival's here, and they all sort of galvanize together. And that makes it feel very local in a sense, even though we have very broad reaching. There's a sense of we're all here together celebrating this festival feeling right now, which is fun.
Nuts and bolts. Tickets, location, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. You can go to montclairfilm.org and our entire film program is there. Tickets are available there. We have a box office in Montclair in our building. We have a year-round building now at 505 Bloomfield Avenue, right across the street from the Claridge Cinemas, if you're familiar with downtown Montclair. And people can swing by there and pick up tickets as well. We have books. We all over town and in adjacent counties and cities. So we're really trying to get the word out. Hopefully people will see our materials on NJ Transit this year, et cetera. So we're trying to expand our reach and get people excited. It's not, I live in Brooklyn, so I make the commute every day. I'm a reverse commuter. And I know there's some resistance in New York City to schlepping over to Montclair, New Jersey, but it's really not that difficult. And I hope everyone feels welcome to come and that it's an accessible place for everybody.
You can't play favorites, I understand. Any particular panel you're looking forward to? Any film you think really might catch somebody's interest, either of you?
I think I want Avi to talk about Tolkien.
Yeah, so Fox Searchlight has a wonderful movie coming out, Tolkien, about the life of J.R.R. Tolkien. Hmm. And Stephen is a huge Tolkien nerd. We can just go ahead and say it, nerd. And so they asked him to watch an early screening of the film, which he did. And they called to say, do you have any comments? Which, of course, he did. Some deep cuts. But we loved it. It's a beautiful film. And they said to Stephen, would you be interested in hosting a Q&A? And I wasn't home, and Tom wasn't there, and without either one of us, Stephen said, yes, and will you simulcast it to 200 theaters all across the country? So we're showing the film on Tuesday, May the 7th, at a large theater in Montclair, the Wellmont Theater. Stephen is doing a Q&A with the cast members and the director, and that will be simulcast all across the country to 200 theaters, which is something we've never done before. Super exciting. Very grateful to Stephen for the idea.
Wow.
It was a little scary, but we're going to make it happen.
He's fast on his feet.
He's fast on his feet and very loyal, which is really sweet.
I was like, please wing it more.
Yeah, exactly.
We would love to do that more often. And on my end, you know, I'm excited to have Mindy Kaling with us. I think she's terrific. And the film Late Night, I think it's going to be a really big hit. We've got another film that was the first film that Apple acquired out of Toronto. It was their first ever acquisition, called The Elephant Queen. Chiwetel Ejiofor narrates. It's a really beautiful, family-driven documentary about elephant migration in the dry season to a water source, and it tells their story. But inviting all the kids and having young people come in and having families there, I think, is going to be a really special thing with that movie as well.
The Montclair Film Festival runs May 3rd through May 12th. Evie Colbert and Tom Hall, thanks for coming down.
Thank you so much.
An honor to be here. Thank you.
So happy to be here.
This is All of It on WNYC.